The things we all carry is a podcast about first responders and their stories surrounding trauma on the job. The intention of this podcast is to raise awareness and share meaningful conversation around a subject often viewed as taboo or simply ignored. Be aware this content may be graphic and it is real. It may not be suitable for children or adults triggered by this subject matter.
It's been about 6 weeks since I stepped away from the fire service. And that's give or take, because I didn't go back to check the dates, but I believe it's been about 6 weeks. And it's been a strange trip, to be honest with you. I told you about the book that my friend gave me, and it described the stages of this separation from a service and how I recognized the stages I was in or had been in and was experiencing at the time, and how it started to line up, and it just made some sense. And I got a message from a friend, and you guys know him. He's TJ from Keep the Promise. And he said, it'd be interesting. Let's do a show about stepping away from the fire service, and let's have a few of us that are at different stages of the process. And that's what we did. We identified a couple of us that were either had been removed for a bit, just removed, or working on being removed. And it was just to have a discussion, a conversation about the different stages and what everybody or what each of us have gone through leading up to where we are right at that moment. And this is the kind of conversation I've been looking forward to, because it's not centered on really heavy stuff. It's a little lighter. It's a little more approachable would be a great word. And there were some laughs in there, and it was just this reminder of the good parts of what being in the fire department is like. And you know it, I know it. Anybody that's been in the fire service knows it. It's that kitchen table. It's the rig when you're coming home from a call. It is it's the gym when you're working out with your crew. It's a moment that you can be you. You can put your guard down. You can to make that inappropriate joke. You can say, "Hey, I need to talk about this," or "I need to talk about that," and you can make yourself vulnerable, but not necessarily. And this is going to sound ridiculous, maybe, but not necessarily lose a masculinity and still be vulnerable. Or whatever it is. And I'm not excluding women in the fire service. That's not what I'm doing. But this was a discussion amongst like three men. I don't like that at all. So it's that kitchen table talk. It's that rig on the way home from a call talk. And we all know it. We all identify it. This is where you don't have to be politically correct. You don't have to be polite. You don't have to be careful about what you say, you know, and there is that rare time where you say something and the record scratches because the crew goes, "Whoa, what'd you just say?" And obviously it was a joke, because that's what we do. We're inappropriate. This is how we deal with all the emotion that this job brings to us. And it has to go somewhere. It has to go somewhere. One of the things that I've noticed in my 6 weeks of being out and being away from the guys, I don't have that outlet. I don't have that moment where I can let it down and what I've said to people is let my inappropriateness out, or let my ADHD or my autism out. Let's be honest. It's one of those things. Or a combination of the two. I need to be able to find that time to be me, to relax the guard a little bit, be inappropriate, let people know what's going on, and make some jokes and just enjoy conversation. And you lose that. You lose that when you step away from the fire service. It's a natural thing. Of course you're going to lose it. You're stepping away from the crew, and the crew has to go on. That job that they're doing, it didn't end because you stepped away. And if you thought that was going to happen, then you're full of yourself. And at some level, I think we're all full of ourselves. And so out of this conversation that I had that I'm releasing today came this idea of, all right, I need to provide a space that I can do that. And then if I feel like I need to do it, then that means others need to do it. And so I need to find a way to provide that. And so it's a work in progress. It's an idea that's in its infancy. And I'm going to have to figure out how to do it. I do need that interaction. And I don't necessarily need it to be fire department. I just need it to be in that similar vein or that theme of, okay, say what you need to say. Let's talk and let's move on. Let's call each other whatever we need to call each other. Let's observe what we need to observe. Let's make fun of what we want to make fun of. Let's talk shit to each other and then go get a meal or whatever it is. That's what you miss the most when you step away from the fire service. It's not the fires. It's not the calls. It's none of that. It's definitely not getting up early or getting up in the middle of the night to run BS calls. It's that piece. It's that camaraderie. It's that, I don't want to use the word brotherhood because I think it's overblown and I think most of it is just bullshit, but it is that crew mentality of we are in this together, and it's some sort of a trauma bonding as well. And it's, you miss that. You lose that when you step away. And we talk about that in the show. If you don't develop something before you step out of the fire service, you're going to flounder. I floundered. I am floundering still, but I'm starting to find a little bit of a focus, and that's going to help. One of the things I did was I decided to climb back on my bicycle. It's one of the things I neglected in the later years of my fire service because I justified it as saying, oh man, I'm tired. I don't have time to do this. You know, it's labor intensive, which it is. But that's part of why I enjoy it, but it's labor intensive. It's time intensive. And I just, the schedule. I know it was all excuses, but here I am now and I need something. I need a focus. And so I'm back on the bicycle. I signed up for a ride here in October, so I have 6 months to get ready for it, and it's called the Alpine Grand Fondo. It rides out of Harrisonburg, Virginia, and I'm going to do some fundraising, and there's a fundraising team, and if anybody is a cyclist and wants to join in, by all means, let me know, and we can form an actual team. But it's a challenge. It's something I've bitten off that I'm going to have to face. I'm going to have to conquer. It's a long ride. It's a brutal ride, but it's given me a goal, and that's what I need. I need goals. I need a focus and I need a purpose. And so that alleviates some of that floundering. Now, it doesn't replace everything, obviously, but it does start to give you a focus. And so now it forms your day. Now, on top of making a routine for yourself, now you have a goal. And so for me, that is what I've needed to do. And the next 6 months are going to be fascinating. It's going to be exhausting, I believe, but it's going to be one hell of a trip, and you guys can come along for the ride. No pun intended. It will be, you know, there'll be failures, there'll be successes, and it's just like life. It's all about how you react to it and how you push on and move forward from it. So going back to that, you need to find a focus before you step out of the fire service. Or before you step out of the police department or the military or whatever it is, you need to find a focus. You need to bring back your actual identity that is not something that's tied to the service you did. And this is what I've talked about in the past. Your service is your service. It is not who you are. It is what you do, and it is separate from who you are. And I even let that blur for me, and I preach it. And so that's where I am. I am reestablishing self. And it's not easy, but it's necessary. And so this conversation lends itself to that. We talk about the feelings we had before, you know, as we made our decision to step away from fire service, the feelings you have as you step away, right after you step away, and where you are now. And like I said, this was an enjoyable conversation because it wasn't centered around any dark themes or really serious topics. And we could kind of be a little more lighthearted. Welcome to episode 114 of The Things We All Carry. Today, I'm joined by Joey from Conscious Movements and TJ from Keep the Promise podcast. Both of these guys have been on the show before. You know, Joey most recently in episode 107. And then TJ, you can find him scattered throughout this thing from beginning, middle, now. He's I don't know, four or five different episodes with TJ. He was one of my original five that I released way back when, well, going on 2 years now. And this was actually TJ's idea, and I give him a hard time, but I got to give him credit because I like the idea. This one is about leaving the fire service and kind of why you leave the fire service and how you leave it and what to expect. Joey's been away from the fire service for 3 years now. He was medically retired, and it's been 3 years now he's stepped out of the fire service. I'm looking at 6 weeks of being out of the fire service. And TJ is on a journey to finding out how he can leave the fire service and if he's going to leave the fire service. And so the conversation was centered around, what do people need to know when they leave? And this isn't a, you know, check your investments, check your retirement. That's not what this conversation is. This is more of a, how do you prep yourself from a personal standpoint for retirement or for stepping away from the fire service? And this was an enjoyable conversation. This was one where we had some laughs, and we get down to some of the, you know, individual details about how we decided it was time for us to step away, and the feelings that we had, and how we prepared ourselves or how we didn't prepare ourselves, how we would prepare ourselves, and how we would suggest people do it. So I hopefully some of you are thinking of what your future is after the fire service. And that doesn't need to be immediate, but now is the time to think about what you're going to do after the fire service to set yourself up for success. So give this show a listen. Hopefully you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed recording it the other day. And reach out to any of us, you know, TJ, Joey, myself, we're all open to answering questions. So reach out to any of us. You can find all of us on Instagram, and we're all open and available to have these conversations. And we're willing and kind of eager to have the conversations because they challenge us to think, and they challenge us to challenge us to question ourselves and our own path. And so that's enjoyable. And that's just something that we don't do enough of, I think. So anyway, tune in, give it a listen. Let me know what you think. Let Joey know what you think. Let TJ know what you think. And you guys get out there and do something for yourself today. A quick reminder to please help us build a community which not only recognizes but supports each other through the struggles and recovery. Reach out through Instagram at The Things We All Carry, or email mystory@thethingsweallcarry.com to offer support and share your story. Please remember to leave a review on iTunes and give a shout out to any first responder you know, love, or care about. Y'all enjoy the show.
I'm
going to try something real quick. I want to see if this will play and record, and then we'll go right into it. Hold on one sec. So that worked.
Amazingly well. Look at you, technology man.
Yeah, I finally used a sound pad. So welcome back to The Things We All Carry. Today I've got two guests that are going to keep me jumping, I think. You know them both. Joey was on, what, episode 107, right, Joey?
I believe so, yep.
So why don't you give us really brief history, where you are, who you are, and why you're here?
Well, I'm up in Panama City Beach, Florida. I was a fireman paramedic for about 12 years. And a couple of years ago, I got out after dealing with some PTSD, some mental health issues, and now I'm on a journey of healing and sharing my message to help others in my position.
Perfect. And what's the site that you run and your business, your gig right now?
My business is called Conscious Movements, and that was born out of, you know, my struggle trying to recover mentally. So that's kind of an umbrella company that I teach, you know, different stress management techniques, mental coaching, physical fitness. So all these different modalities that help me to basically get my shit together.
Perfect. All right. And then the face that probably doesn't need an introduction because he's been on this show since the fucking beginning of it all. He was one of my first, if not my first interview ever. And so welcome back to TJ from Keep the Promise. Let's hear a brief background because I know you like the mic.
Oh, wow. Rude. Yeah, hi, I'm TJ. I run a podcast called Keep the Promise that I started after I was one of your first guests years ago talking about our line of duty death. And the whole point of Keep the Promise is to build resilient and well-rounded firefighters. So taking into account the holistic firefighter, not just strategy, tactics, you know, the chest beating stuff, but everything outside the job that sets us up for success and failure on the fire ground. And as good podcasters, we've all been in each other's shows. It's a nice incestuous thing. And I am excited for yet another session shooting from the hip because you know how much anxiety it gives me not to have any sort of plan.
Well, as you well know, and Joey knows because we just talked about it before we started recording, we're not shooting from the hip because we had a meeting.
I am. I lost the notes. I totally lost it.
We discussed what we're going to talk about. It was written down, sent to you twice now. So that's not on us. Anyway, what we are going to talk about is this was your idea, though, TJ, because you came to us and you said, hey, this is interesting.
It was.
Because with the three of us are in different spots in our careers or out of our careers now.
Correct.
Joey just mentioned it. He stepped away from the fire department, 3 years ago, right, Joey?
Yeah, about 3 years ago now.
And so then when we first came up with this idea, I was preparing to step away. And TJ, you're toying with some ideas of your own. And so now I'm out. I've been out for a little bit over a month. Again, like I said, Joey's been out for 3 years. TJ, you're still in, but you're kind of starting to think about a transition. And so we thought maybe it would be an interesting conversation between three of us who are different stages of retirement and fire service, you know, life. Yep. And so we're going to try and, I guess, see where the three of us are at this point in this journey of, that we each have in this rock that's spinning around in space. I think we'll start with why did we even join the fire department to begin with? Joey.
Okay. Well, I joined, I got on pretty young. I did an Explorers program in my senior year of high school and just fell in love with the service, you know, didn't want to sit behind a desk. I was a lifelong athlete, so I wanted to do something athletic. And then just being able to help people, you know, felt like a worthwhile thing to do. So got hooked on it right away and just dove into it, went into the fire academy, paramedic school right out of high school and started working by the time I was 20, 21.
Yeah. So that's one side because you started very young compared to both TJ and I. TJ came in with a little bit more of life experience because he had been to school and gotten his degree and then came back to the area. So why the fire service, TJ? And you also, and don't let me cut you short. You also did some time young as well.
I did. I started volunteering when I was 18 and, you know, got hooked on that. It's fun. It's exciting. You get to see and do some interesting things. And as a kid, as an 18-year-old kid, you grow up quickly. I went off to school, got a couple of degrees, and part of my reason for joining was logistics because at the time I was not a U.S. citizen and all of my degrees had pushed me towards like the defense industry, project management, and like unmanned systems, things that require secret and top secret clearances, which as a non-citizen at the time I couldn't get. And I was at that crossroads where I'm like, well, fuck, what am I going to do? I'm looking at like PhD. Fuck no, I'm not getting a PhD. And I also realized I'm young. I have, I want to go on an adventure. I want to be able to have these epic stories. And so I applied. I got in right out of grad school. And like I said, at first it was just for the adventure. And then it became the camaraderie, became the people, the lifestyle. It's you get to do and see so many things that the world doesn't even acknowledge. Plus, go to fires is fun.
Yeah, they're a little fun. They can be a little fun.
Yeah.
So, and I started this gig later in life than most people, much later in life than most people. So I spent a lifetime before joining the fire service, and I got to a spot in my life where I thought I could change directions and enjoy something that I wanted to do. And I had been a medic in the Army, and so I decided to pursue some of that. And but then I found the fire service was it. And at 44, joined as a rookie in the fire service, having never even I didn't know the difference between a rescue, a truck, and a fire engine. You know, I remember being first 2 weeks in and someone asked me where I wanted to ride. And I was like, let me learn what they are before I tell you what I want to do. But then I mean, it's the same thing. I got in and I took to it and I enjoyed it. And it was thrilling and it was enthralling at that. And my first week as a rookie, as a 45-year-old rookie, I can't even count the number of fires I went to include, you know, being on the nozzle for a 2-alarm house fire on the first day, you know? So, and when that hook is set, yeah, when that hook is set like that, you're hooked, you're in. So I spent 11 years and then made that decision that, all right, I've had enough. So we each come to this journey from a completely different spot.
Yes. I love that you're talking about a journey and you mentioned changing directions, because going on a quick tangent, the one thing that I noticed, the deeper we get in the fire service, the more time we spend in it, the more we see our people say, this is the only thing I know how to do. This is the only thing I've ever done and I've ever understood. I can't do anything anymore. And that's why I like your guys' stories and take them as inspiration, because they are proof that we can take those skills that we've learned in the fire service, those resilience skills. Look, all of us came in with no experience, right? I had zero clue about ropes and knots and all the shit that we did in special ops. I had no idea about EMS, any of that stuff. And I learned them. And what's important to realize for firefighters is that just like you learn those basics going through the academy and classes later on, you can also learn other life skills that will set you up for success beyond the fire service, right? Like, there's no need to just say, I'm just a dumb fireman, I can't do anything anymore. You have proven before that you can take a subject that you knew nothing about and then you can master it. So now you have life experience behind it. You should be even better at that.
And yeah, and then that's something that's on the list of talking about those skills that we have as firefighters that we discount. And I hear it all the time. Well, what would I do if I got out? Because people come to me and say, okay, I have 11 years, 12, 13 years in, but I'm burned out. I can't do it. And I said, why? You don't have to stay in. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand that there's a life out there. There's a world out there beyond the fire department. And we do have a skill set that is unparalleled to people coming out of other jobs. I mean, literally people call us when they don't know what to do. And then we show up on scene and we have to problem solve immediately.
Yes, because we don't know what to do most of the time. We just take those basic building blocks and we put them together and fix it. Like, it could be something that we've never run before. It's like, okay, but our skill is being able to take that step back and break it down into manageable chunks and go from there.
Yeah, and you add in that you've got emergency, you know, I guess, resolution skills. You've got management skills. You've got you've got problem solving skills. It's things that don't translate to a degree, but that the degree is unnecessary in most cases.
Agreed.
Yeah, the skills you learn on the job transfer to anything else for sure. And just if you were a fireman, that people love firemen, right? So that gets you in the door with a lot of people as well, just telling them you were a fireman. So you might be afraid to take a jump because what the hell else am I going to do? I'm a dumb fireman. But you tell, you know, you go into an interview, you tell someone you were a fireman for 10 years, you get a lot of respect just off of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great career to help spring you into other things as well. So it's a scary thing to do it, you know, to jump, because I was the same way. What the hell else am I going to do? But the skills I learned as a fireman have definitely translated into what I'm doing now.
Yeah, I think perseverance is the main thing. Perseverance and not being scared of a challenge. Those are the main things that you take away. Those aren't, I suppose we can call that a skill set. I think that's just something that's, you know, innate in us as first responders. I think that's something that if you didn't have it, we probably wouldn't have been in the fire service to begin with. We had taken some notes. We're going to talk about life and service differences in our backgrounds. I think we kind of touched on that a little bit, but Joey, tell me a little bit about your time in the fire service. You know, what was that like for you? What did you do predominantly and how did you find your way through it?
Well, I worked for a ALS transport department. It was fire and EMS. Like most fire departments, though, majority EMS calls, you know, are a couple fires here and there, but the majority of it was running medical calls, you know, car accidents, heart attacks, all that kind of stuff. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Just trying to get a feel for what you're, the time you were in, the 12 years, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What that was like for you. You know, I know that it was busy. I know that you experienced your own set of traumas, and we don't need to go into your own set of traumas because you had your own episode, and people can go back to episode 107 and see, you know, and listen to your story and get the nuts and bolts of your story. But I kind of just wanted to touch on what you did in the fire service and what your role was, what you saw your role as in the fire service.
Well, I worked as a medic and a fireman. I also was on our TRT team, our technical rescue team. I was the cook at the house, so that afforded me a lot of you know, getting out of chores and all that kind of stuff because I was cooking. And you know, just the brotherhood and the camaraderie. Yes, that was something that I didn't expect going in. That, you know, that was a really hard thing to step away from because you're thrown into a situation with other guys and girls and you're put in these intense situations that help, you know, bring people together. And then, you know, when you get out, that kind of disappears. So that was a challenge getting out, losing that brotherhood. So that was something I didn't expect going in, how close knit that it, you know, the job makes people just because of the nature of it.
Yeah. You call it brotherhood or you can call it trauma bonding, whatever the hell you want to call it. There's definitely a bond there.
Yeah.
TJ, what was your fire service career? What's it been like for you? Cause I know you came out as a rookie and you got into a large firehouse, you know, pretty quick. And you got into that technical rescue world as well, like Joey talked about, but you fell into it basically as a rookie, correct?
I did. I went straight from the academy into our special ops firehouse, and it was hit the ground running because on one hand, learning how to be a rookie. And I mean, you know me, you know my attitude and mindset. I am a shit rookie. I pissed off a lot of people, especially coming with prior experience. So I had to learn how to navigate those waters while at the same time learning all the new skills of ropes, knots, the technical rescue world, that whole different world when you show up to a more brainiac event, as I like to call it. So I spent 8 years there. All the things that you get to do in those fun firehouses, got to do hazmat training, got to go to all the fun schools, blow shit up in New Mexico, go to Vegas and whatnot, and somehow didn't get fired for that trip. And a couple years ago, almost 4 years ago now, I got moved to basically our busiest station. No special ops, no nothing. Went from having engine, truck, ambulance, and special ops to having an engine and two ambulances. And I promoted into the engine driver spot. And that's where I've been ever since. So I've gotten a long taste of the special ops world. And then now I have been enjoying my life at the ordinary operations world, as I like to call it, where we just do fire and EMS, no other extra shit.
You know, what's funny, I think that there's something that we're hitting on accidentally here is just how different the fire service is itself. When you compare it to other departments, because you talked about a long stint at a special ops house, and Joey, correct me if I'm wrong, but you stayed in one house for a while as well, correct?
Yeah. I mean, in my career, I was maybe two or three different houses, but the majority, I was at our station three, which is our technical rescue team.
Yeah. And if you look at me in my county, they have this philosophy that it's healthy to move people, which I don't understand. I don't think it's healthy to move people because I think that once you start to learn a do and you start to know that do like the back of your hand, that benefits your population, your client base. It benefits it to no end. Cause I look at my career and it's one of those things when someone says, well, where did you run? And I have to do that my eyes go up to the ceiling because I'm thinking, and it's like, well, I ran it. Let's see, 14, 23, 20. 24, 4, 22, 11. So I'm sorry, it's seven different houses in 11 years. And it's crazy. And so I kind of fell into some of the same stuff. I went to a small house when I was a rookie, but we tried to work hard and make a name for ourselves when we got detailed out. And then both myself and another rookie there, we ended up on a truck right after that. So we got into the tech rescue world there. So went to a truck, got promoted, went to an engine, went from an engine to a truck, went to a truck to a rescue, rescue to a truck. So it's been, yeah, exactly. Right.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's chaotic, but I got to see and do a lot of shit, a lot of fun stuff. And I got to learn how to do all of that stuff. All the positions on all of those rigs was what I was doing. And it's a challenge and it's wonderful. But then you look around and you go, okay, what else do I want to do? And I'm a learner. I like to learn. I like to experience. I like to add like these, I don't know, I would just put them headings to my resume. And there was nothing else that I wanted to do. I didn't want to go medic and I didn't want to go hazmat. And I had rocked the boat quite a bit. So I knew I wasn't getting promoted. Even if I aced the test, they weren't going to put a white helmet on my head. And I'm okay with that. But I decided the toll it takes on your body, the losing of sleep, no matter if you sleep through the night or not. And TJ, you and I just talked about that yesterday. It doesn't matter if you sleep through the night, you're tired, you're exhausted, and it wreaks havoc on your body. And so that was my decision to get out of here, you know, to say, okay, I need to do something for myself. Even if it's not ideal, the time is not ideal for me, and mentally and physically, the time was right.
Now, here's my question for the two of you. Was it more of a continuum that you started almost like filling that cup of I'm ready to get the fuck out? Or did you just wake up one day and say, I'm done?
Go ahead, Joey.
For me, I mean, like I mentioned, and we spoke on our, you know, previous podcast, it was a mental health thing for me. So I knew I was struggling, but I was doing the tough fireman thing, you know, suck it up, buttercup, let's get to work. And it got to a point after a couple years of that to where I'm starting to have panic attacks, you know, when I'm driving to work. And that's kind of when I was like, well, shit, I can't really be having panic attacks while I'm running a 911 call. So that, you know, it made the decision for me. You know, I couldn't fight it no more. So it was a slow burn. And then it was, you know, all right, get the fuck out.
Yeah, ironically, this show and the people that I talk to, the experts that I talk to about sleep and about nutrition and fitness and all of it, all that stuff, I started to pile in and I started to look at my own career and my own approach to life. And one of the things I always say is that when I interview somebody, I always hear a piece of me in their interview. And it just started to go, wait a second, you're doing this, you're doing that. All this stuff starts to pop up, and then I can trace it back to, all right, this has been a slow decline in whatever, and it's time to say, okay, it's time for me to step aside. So I've known for a while that I was not going to be in the fire service for 20 years. I knew that coming in, but I never put an expiration date on it. And the last year, three to five years has been chaotic in my personal life between my mom's illness, my own divorce, and a few other things that I couldn't add professional chaos to the personal chaos. And so once the personal chaos started to subside and calm down, it was time to go, okay, now what can I do professionally? What can I change? And the change that I had to make was to step away from the fire service. Does that answer your question, TJ?
Yeah, 100%. It's, for me, and I will echo what you said, that I also came into it saying, well, I think at the beginning, I'm like, I'm going to do 30. I'm going to do 25 and then 5 on the drop. It's going to be amazing. Going to relieve with a lot of money. And as time went on, I'm like, maybe 20. And as of the last couple of years, I got to the point that I said, at 20 seems so far away. And it started as a joke, right? Like I could... When I hit 10, everybody's like, hey, congrats, you're on the downhill slope. I'm like, dude, I don't know if I can make it to even 11. I've been gunning to get all businesses firing on all cylinders so I can have a different source of income and gracefully step away. And I started finding myself when talking to you guys, and other folks that I've known who left well before retirement. I wasn't, you know, that typical firefighter attitude of like, ugh, what a shitbag. You couldn't hack it for 20. You couldn't make it to retirement. When I talked to both of you guys and when I talked to a couple other friends, a couple classmates who left early, I was more curious. I wanted to know how they got there. I wanted to know what they were going to do. Like, I was so excited for them. Like, when somebody tells you, hey, I am going on this, like, long backpacking trip to Europe, instead of being like, oh, shit, it's scary, it's dangerous, be like, fuck yeah, tell me all the details. Tell me everything that you're going to do and how you got there. And that started basically, like, making itself at home in my mind, the thoughts of, like, hey, they can do it. So can I. We had breakfast with two of the guys at my current assignment who left. Literally, they hit 5 years, long enough to get vested in the pension, and they rolled. And the whole shift met up with them one morning after we worked, and we're all dragging, you know, looking like absolute shit, didn't sleep all night. And these dudes had been gone for maybe a month. They walk in all chipper, looking good, looking muscular, looking rested. They're like, yeah, man, got up early, went to the gym, had breakfast, like had family breakfast with our wives. Now we're here having coffee with you guys. And I just remember thinking, there is life outside of this. There is a worthwhile life, because I think we give our identities into the fire service. And we say the only way that I can feel fulfilled is getting on a rig and going down the road, lights and sirens. But I think that's a myopic view, because we fail to look around in the world and see the other people who are living happy, fulfilled lives without the need to put themselves in what we're doing. And I'll be honest with you, like, you guys both know my story. My whole world changed when we lost Nate. That was when shit became real. That's when it stopped being fun, because that was a very stark reminder that firefighters die. Mm-hmm. And it is not a glorious thing. It is not bagpipes and draped flags. It is grieving families. It is firefighters who are second guessing every fucking decision they made that day. And it is a lifetime of questions that will never be answered. So that changed everything. And, you know, the more we learn PFAs, the fact that our departments refuse to let us use anything other than prescription drugs and alcohol to take care of ourselves, like all that stuff. It's just like, why? What's the point? Like, we're giving our lives for thankless departments. We're giving our lives for communities that are the same. Well, for the most part, they don't really give a shit about us. And there's more to the world. We get one shot at this, right? Eminem said it, or whoever, everybody says the same thing. But like, it's one trip on this world, bro. And I think it would be ludicrous to say, I only have one identity. I only have one thing that I want to do, and that's all I'm ever going to do. I think it's important, like you guys said, to be able to chase directions and grow and always keep learning.
Well, and to that point, when you do make that decision, it is nerve-wracking.
Right. How is it?
It'll scare the shit out of you. Well, first of all, there's an anticipation, and my rookie who gave me a book, it was a while ago when he knew that I was trying to transition away from the fire service, he gave me a book, and it's that one right there. It's called The Excommunicated Warrior.
Okay. And
it's an easy read. It's a Marine who's a force recon guy, and he has stepped away from the Marines after 12 years. And he goes through these stages, and I had started reading the book when I was still in the fire service, and it didn't resonate as much as it did when I started reading it after. And I found it the other day, and I picked it up and I read it. It's one of those books you read like one half one day, one half the next day.
Yeah.
And he talks about the stages, and the first one was apprehension. And I started thinking, all right, yeah, definitely had that apprehension where you think, okay, I'm going to get out, but what am I going to do? How am I going to make money? How am I going to do this? And it is the long stage leading up to that decision. And it creates some worry. It creates, well, just like the title says, apprehension. And you get to that point, you kind of celebrate it. You're ready to go. But you're still in the back of your head going, why am I doing it? Why am I doing this? Why am I stepping away from a guaranteed check every 2 weeks for a job that really doesn't ask me to do a lot?
Right.
And that's the biggest misnomer of the fire department. People are like, oh, you're always getting your ass kicked. No, we show up, we work out, we run calls, we eat. That's what's expected of us. And then there's some bullshit paperwork, yes. But ask anybody that I worked with or for, they'll know that I didn't care about paperwork. So you know, there's not a lot asked of us other than to run calls and do your job and be proficient. But to be proficient means you're going out and you're doing the things you like to do anyway. Mm-hmm. So the apprehension was there, and I know it built for me. Joey, what did it build for you as you decided? And I know yours is a little different because yours you had some issues going on through trauma and PTSD and all that kind of forced you out, but you still had to have had some sort of apprehension leading up to it.
Yeah. I mean, I had planned on doing a 30-year career, so it wasn't, you know, as I started to struggle, I had no clue what else I was going to do. And even when I was treating, my goal was to get back on the line. I never had planned on getting out. So, a lot of apprehension, and that was kind of my experience while I was on light duty for about 6 months or so. You know, I'm there, you know, just doing janitorial paperwork, whatever, running stuff to the stations, and each day thinking, well, shit, I can't wait to get back on the rig. You know, I want to run some calls and all this stuff. And then it started to, you know, as I had time away from it, I started to be able to observe not only myself, but all the other guys who were still running the calls, still doing the job. And I just started to see the toll it was taking on them. And, you know, at a certain point, I realized that, shit, I can't go back to this job. I can't keep just, you know, not prioritizing my own health and being the hero. That's kind of, I feel like we all sign up for this job and you get to help people, with which is so fulfilling, but it's constantly sacrificing yourself to help others. And then a lot of us wake up, you know, 15, 20 years into the job, and maybe we're drinking too much, maybe we're, you know, having troubles with our spouses or whatever, but we don't know what else to do. I've already committed so much to this job, and the title and the work you do gives you so much. You know, it makes you proud. You go get groceries at the store, everybody sees you, they want to high five you and shit. And it's hard to drop that thing. 'Cause what am I now? You know, how many of us wear a fire shirt everywhere we go? Or, you know, that was my wardrobe forever. It was just fire shirts.
Yeah.
So dropping that identity, at first was very hard, because I was kind of like, I need to get the fuck out of here. I was over all the fireman shit. You know, a lot of the guys, they don't even realize how absorbed they are into the job and how they've lost who they are as a person. So being able to step away gave me, you know, a lot of perspective. And now a couple of years later, I'm re-embracing what I did as a fireman as part of my identity. I was a fireman. It was an amazing career. It gave me so much valuable insight into, you know, the value of life. We get to see life and death in real, you know, everyday circumstances. You don't take shit for granted once you've seen somebody, you know, lose their life. So it's, the job gave me so much, but getting out of it and reintegrating that experience has helped me to now become a more well-rounded person, and taking care of myself now. I have more to give to my family and the people I really, you know, want to take care of.
TJ, I'm gonna come back to you about the apprehension part real quick, but I have one thing I want to say about what Joey said, and it's something that I tell everybody when they ask me, well, how do I get out with 10 years in? How do I just throw that money away? Or how do I throw those years away? And it's such a fallacy that it's a psychological thing. It's called the cost loss fallacy. Mm-hmm. And you're sunk money, or you sunk time into this. And they want you to think that if you walk away at 10 years, you're throwing those 10 years away. It's complete and utter bullshit to say you're throwing those 10 years away. And departments are doing the disservice to firefighters by... Hey guys, quick break right here just to check in and thank each of you for listening to the show. Your support has been paramount, and I appreciate all of you. I have one request though. I need you to share the show with everyone you know. Help me get the word out and spread these stories as far and as wide as we can. While you're at it, please leave a review of the show wherever you happen to listen. Feel free to reach out to me at any time to share your story, to talk, or to pass on suggestions. Let's get on with the rest of the show.
Saying that,
And it all goes hand in hand, and people are going to get mad at me. It all goes hand in hand with this, the BS of brotherhood. They want you to buy into the brotherhood and to say, yeah, there's this brotherhood, because the brotherhood is what keeps you coming back every day. Mm-hmm. And it keeps you isolated from the real world, and it keeps you in this nest. And so when you realize that, wait a second, that's not as true as what it is, it's preached to be. And yeah, you're not throwing anything away. What you're doing is you're taking those skills that we talked about earlier and the experiences from the fire department, and then you're going to apply it somewhere else, and you're going to do something for yourself, or you're going to do more good for other people. Then that's the benefit. The cost loss, don't take that out of play. You're not throwing anything away. You're changing your direction, and you're modifying your life in some manner, but you're not throwing anything away. You're going to capitalize on what you've learned and what you've experienced, and it will pay dividends for you if you just start and you take
the jump.
If you take the jump.
Yes. And going back, I mean, we can take that sunk cost fallacy and run it to the ground, because at the end of the day, we're all going to die, right? So I am doing all of this to eventually lose it. Why even do it, right? Like, there comes a point that do you let that nihilism take over? Do you let it completely engulf you? I mean, that's a personal choice. But that is going back to what you're talking about, the brotherhood and our the brainwashing that we go through when we join as to our time spent. I had a long conversation with one of my classmates who left after 8 years. Homeboy spent time overseas. He got shot at. He got blown up in Fallujah. He has done it all, and he has probably the best work ethic of anybody I've ever met in my entire life. And even though he'll tell you he's just a dumb Marine, he has one of the sharpest minds that I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. So I talked to him for like 3 hours a couple months ago. And he's like, dude, think about it this way. Brotherhood, right? We talk about the brotherhood. We glorify firefighters. We glorify police officers. We glorify the military, right? Somebody falls in the line of duty, it's a big, massive funeral. It's all of these things. Like, why do we do these things? Because the departments and the people running the show want the young, impressionable men and women to see, oh, I could be a hero. I could do all these things. And if something happens, everyone will remember me and everyone will take care of my family. And in exchange, we get pennies on the dollar for the job that we do. We can, if we approach the fire service from, which we shouldn't, but from like a business mindset, from like a capitalist mindset, we are making pennies on what we should be doing, mm-hmm. given what we do. But as always, the human element comes to play, and we deal with it. We stomach those shitty blows because we are with our friends. We are living the brotherhood. We are doing exciting stuff. And we create that identity that is, I can only imagine, it is almost impossible to get rid of. I had a conversation, I wrote down identity and quadruple underlined it. Because I spoke to my therapist and I'm like, hey, and you guys know me, I openly talk about the fact that I've been seeing a therapist for over 10 years now. And so she's seen my journey, and I told her, I'm not making it to 20. I don't even know if I'm making it to 15. Like, I need to start working on my exit plan. And typical TJ fashion, I said, I need to take that firefighter identity and just kill it. Like, the old adage of burning your ships, like, I'm going to take that person who I was, and it's going to be no more. And she had to talk me off that ledge and say, like, dude, why don't you just take it and transform it? You don't have to kill it. You don't have to get rid of everything who you were. You don't have to put everything like tucked away in a closet behind a bunch of stuff. Take what you learned, the wins, the losses, everything you've done, and use that as a springboard for life. Use it as a way to remind you that maybe in whatever job you're in, you're struggling, but you also struggle through structural collapse class, or you couldn't figure out how to do pump calculations at first, and then boom, now you're an engine driver. And this is that reminder for those folks who are listening, who may be thinking about the same thing, or maybe in 20 years when you retire, you have those skills. And nobody can take those things away from you. It's just a matter of how you choose to apply them and how you choose to say, fuck it, I've been through worse before. what is corporate America? Like, I've been a fireman for X amount of years. What's corporate America going to do to me? Nothing. You get to go home every night. Or like whatever new challenge you face, it'll probably be easier given the experiences that you have.
So you're in that spot where you know that you don't want to do 20 and you don't have an identified date, but are you feeling Correct. That apprehension?
Dude, 1,000%. 1,000%. We talked about it when you were about to leave. Because that was when the house explosion happened in Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, what's going to happen if, like, how am I going to feel if something happens to my crew a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade after I leave? And I started thinking the same thing. A couple of days after that, I went back to work and I was looking at my relatively green crew. I mean, amazing guys and gals, but the most senior guy at my station has 5 years on. And I'm like, fuck, how would I feel if something happened to them? Like the soul crushing realization, if I could have done something for them and I wasn't, like, that gives me apprehension. The excitement of driving the fire engine. You're in this big rig. Not that everyone looks at you because nobody's paying attention on the road. They're playing on their phones, but you're on this like fascinating piece of equipment with a purpose, going places, doing things. And the thought of jumping into the flow of everyday life seems horrifyingly scary. Along with, say that I end up in corporate America, which I have always sworn I'm never going to do. But now I have to deal with HR. Now I can't make jokes. Now I can't kick the door open to the kitchen and call everybody a fuckwad and tell them to shut up because I have something important to say and then not say anything. You know, like, it's those pranks. And the one thing that I wrote is the thing that terrifies me is losing that camaraderie and that tribe, those people who know us the best. And even though we might come to blows at times and we might not speak to each other for months, these are the people who know us the best, the most intimate out of anybody else, because we spend a third plus of our lives with them. It's like, fuck, what, like, how much am I going to lose? How alone am I going to feel? How unfulfilled am I going to feel, right? Like, that's my apprehension. That's the scary part. But at the same time, I've started feeling alone and isolated within my own department.
Right.
The old timers always said, you will know when it is no longer your department. And I'm starting to feel that way. And at first I was like, fuck, it's too soon. It's too early. But we all know that everyone's different. Not everyone's made for 20, 30, 40 years. Some people feel that at year 5. Some people feel that at year 41. But you get to the point that you say, it's been a fun run. It's been an adventure. Time to think about other stuff.
Well, it's funny you talk about that, where you feel lost after you leave. And going back to that book I mentioned, the second stage is like a celebration stage. And the one thing he reiterates a number of times in there is, this is the shortest stage. That celebration stage is the shortest stage. And when I said that I didn't understand that when I read it before versus when I read it after leaving a fire service is a complete understatement. I did not understand it until I read it again after leaving a fire service. And I went, I fucking understand that, because TJ was at my retirement party, and I hesitate to call it that, but he was at the going away party.
It was a rager.
Yeah, it was not, because it was at a brewery, but I wasn't drinking. So anyway, so you have that, but you wake up after that and it's gone. The excitement's gone. Because now it's, what the fuck do I do?
It's life.
Now you have to struggle. And I know that it's cliche to go, well, this, it's all about the struggle and that's where you grow. And I know that's where you grow, but you still have to fucking struggle. You still have to get to it. And I don't know. I can only speak for myself, but I know that was the shortest stage. I woke up one morning and went, oh, it's all done. I'm out. And you know what? They've forgotten about me. And that's what it's supposed to be. And that sucked. That realization sucked. Joey, what'd you find?
Yeah, I feel like that's a hard pill to swallow, because we've already mentioned it multiple times, the brotherhood, the camaraderie, all, rah, rah, rah. But once you're out, you're fucking out. That brotherhood kind of disappears real quick. And it's almost like we do it to ourselves. We're so like tribalistic with it. You know, you're in the group, you're a part of our group right now. You're a fireman. We got your back. Let's do all the brotherhood stuff. But now when you're not a fireman anymore, well, you're not a part of the group. And that was a hard pill to swallow for me. And I, like you said, that second part of celebrating is very short. Once I finally realized I was getting out, it started to dawn on me, well, shit, I get to be home every night. I get to sleep every night. I don't have to be on these calls where I could get hurt or, someone on my crew can get hurt. And that was great for a bit. And then you're like, well, what am I doing now?
Yeah.
And the job gives you such a purpose, help service, self-serve or self-sacrificing service is so rewarding. That has been my journey now is how can I feel that purpose again? Because the fire service gives you that purpose. You know what you're doing. You don't have to, plan, what am I going to do today to help this person or how am I going to make money or this or that? You show up and you already know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to call and you're going to go help them. And it's that simple. So that I can definitely relate to that part of getting out and celebrating, and then reality hits again and you're like, well, shit, what do I do now?
Right. TJ, you raised your hand about something.
I did.
You're in kindergarten, but go.
Yeah, that's my mindset. I'm a child. The morning after the party, right? The morning after the celebration, when you wake up and everything's quiet and your new life realization mm-hmm. hits you like a fucking ton of bricks. How much of that is the oh shit moment and how much of that is, oh shit, I have a wide open road in front of me. Let's go.
Nah, they're both scary as fuck. And it's probably equal amounts. You get out, like I said, you get out, you have that brief moment where you celebrate and then you wake up one morning and go, oh wait, I'm not getting the check today, or I'm not getting this today. And then you look at it and you go, that road is wide open, like you said, but it's up to me to drive the car down that road now. Whereas I think hit on it a little bit. Mm-hmm. When you go to work and you go to the fire, go to your department, you get on your rig, you know what you're doing. It's being driven for you. I mean, unless you're the chauffeur, it's being driven for you. Basically your day is being driven for you. When you get out, you're driving everything. You're in charge of everything. You're also responsible for every failure.
See, and this is maybe from an outsider perspective, but that sounds intoxicatingly amazing because you are responsible for everything. And like, we all want adventure. We all want to be tested. What greater test than to be responsible for absolutely everything that you do in life.
And
I'm
not saying that that's not there, but, and I keep referencing this book. The next part of that book was this next stage is kind of the big bowl of bad emotions is what he called it. You start really getting, you kind of battle some of that negativity. Well, what the fuck? Everybody left and you left, but everyone else has disappeared because of what it is. And I understood that I didn't identify some of those feelings very well. Until I read the book again and I said, okay, no, wait a second. That's what it is. Get out of your head, get out of your own head. And so you do lose. I don't care how hard you try not to create an identity in the fire service. You create an identity that's wrapped in the fire service. Tell me you don't, and I'll call you a liar. I don't care.
Yeah.
Cause once you leave, you'll find out how much of your identity was wrapped in the fire service. And so it is scary for that purpose only, because now you feel like, okay, you're trying to find the way to do it for yourself when for 10, 12, 15 years, it's all been done for you.
Yeah, I feel like that identity part is the biggest thing that holds people back. And it's almost TJ, you're, thinking about transitioning out. It's almost like if you're a fireman and you're thinking about getting out, you need to ask yourself, who am I? What other things do I do? And if you're like most of us, when you're in, you all you do is fireman stuff. You look like a fireman. You wear fireman shit. You only talk to other firemen. You know, if you're in that place, it makes it really hard to jump to do something else because you're going to have to lose everything about yourself. Yeah. So if you're thinking about getting out, you know, maybe start to explore other identities you can have or other things maybe you did prior to the service, and, you know, getting excited about what you could be in the future and not burying that fireman, bring him along with you. You know, I'm still Fireman Joe. That's a part of me. But it's been, you know, part of this transition growing into who I really am. And, as I identify more as just, you know, Joey or Conscious Movements or whatever it is, it allows me to live a, you know, a more fulfilled life. I didn't realize how trapped I was as a fireman.
Yeah.
My, you know, you have short hair. I couldn't have a beard. You know, it's like, it was so, it seemed so silly, but when I was able to grow my hair out and grow a beard, I was like, yes, let me do that. And then I started to realize, holy shit, they've been controlling everything about my life. And, you know, similar to the military, and it serves a function because mm-hmm. you have to step in line, and that's great. But when you step in line, you lose a lot of yourself. And then if you have thoughts about getting out, you've let go of so much of who you were prior to it, that's where we get to that point where, what the hell else am I going to do? I'm just a dumb fireman. And it's like, we have this negative self-talk about it, even though we should change that. No, you're a fireman. That you could do whatever the fuck you want, you know?
And that, go ahead, buddy.
Nope, you're good. Go.
Piggybacking on that, that is my case. That is the why I push so much that maybe not everyone is made for 20 or 30 years. Because say that I leave tomorrow at 11, right? I'm still young enough and scrappy enough that I can reinvent myself 5-6 times over before I eventually kick the bucket. And it makes me really sad watching these guys who leave at 40 have that same earth-shattering realization of like, fuck, my identity has to change. And what do I have now? Right? Because that's 30 or 40 years of neglecting friendships, of neglecting hobbies, neglecting family members. How many of the guys who retire with 2,000 hours of sick leave?
Yeah.
I was at work even when I was sick. Man, fuck that. That's 2,000 hours you could have been at home living life or doing other stuff. Is this a case for sick leave abuse? Take it as you will. I don't really give a shit. I earned my sick leave. I'm going to use it however I see fit. And that is why, like, that's why retirement after 20 or 30 years terrifies me, because am I going to be as scrappy? Am I going to be as, definitely not as sharp because I'm barely sharp as is, but like, where's my mind going to be? Where are my goals going to be? That I don't want to be the guy who leaves and just fades off into oblivion and just kicks in after a couple weeks because everything I've known is no longer there. I don't want that. When I take my last breath, it's going to be kicking and screaming, asking for some more and wanting more adventure. And the thought of just devoting 30 years to one thing and then having nothing else just terrifies me to no end.
I think what Joey said was very important. He said that he threw his old self away to integrate into the fire service. And it does. If it's not a fast process, it will happen. It's insidious because mm-hmm. it grows inside of you. And all of a sudden you look around and because of the schedule, because of the camaraderie, because of whatever, now you're all your social circles have been fire service because mm-hmm. everyone's on that shift. And so you can fall in with people on those shifts. It's hard to have a life when almost every weekend you're working a 24 at yeah. some point. It's hard to have a life outside the fire service. So I think what Joey said was very important. Find something, kind of grasp onto something that is you outside of the fire service, and do this before you leave the fire service, before you even decide. Well, not before you decide because it's hard to do it then, but like you're thinking that leaving, like you're at that stage right now, TJ, Grasp onto something that is not fire service and run with it. And I didn't do that before I got out, because even the podcast is fire service. Let's be honest. I want it to be more than fire service, but right now it's predominantly fire service. And so what I did last week is I sat down and went, what have I neglected in these years that I've been in the fire department? And it was a really easy decision, or a real easy answer. I used to be a diehard cyclist, and I would get out and I would ride hundreds of miles in a week. And it's because my ankle's frozen in place. I don't run, you know, I have to do something to stay in shape other than just lift, which, looking at me, you'd think you don't lift, bro, but I do. Anyway, so last week I said, fuck it, I'm going to sign up for this ride. And it scares the shit out of me because it's a big ride, but I'm going to do it because I need that focus and I need to find that piece of identity that is not the fire service anymore. And so I have 6 months now to prepare for a monster ride, and people are going to hear more about it because I'm going to do something on the side with that ride. But you have to find something to identify with. If you don't, you're going to flounder. I was starting to flounder. I needed to reach out and identify with something.
Yeah, it's for me too, getting in as a young man, it was, you know, I grew up with divorced parents, you know, kind of wasn't too sure of myself. And then I jump into this job as a fireman at 20 years old, and you're handed this identity that everybody who sees you gives you respect because everybody respects a fireman. So it's hard not to fall into that and just become Fireman Joe. And now I have the idea I'm going to do this for 30 years. So like we have talked about, your circle becomes just firemen, your schedule is just firemen. So you don't continue to grow as a person. I kind of felt like I stopped growing as Joey and I was just Fireman Joe. And that's, you know, it's a detriment to your ability to serve others as well as yourself. So like you said, finding another hobby, something else you can do. And I would just challenge people. It might sound silly, but like, it took me probably 2 years or so before I stopped wearing a fireman shirt every day. And I didn't realize how much you're just putting that on your chest. You got the fire emblem. Everybody who then interacts with you already sees that. So it's hard to then, they're, you know, projecting what they think of a fireman onto right. you. And then you kind of just play that role.
Right.
So yeah, it's great for you to get back into cycling and something else, but that's a huge part of the struggle of getting out of the fire services. You have no clue what else you're going to do. And it's scary for sure.
Yeah. Like I said, identify something that maybe you put aside or that you want to learn about, and then just move forward from the fire service, do it separate of the fire service. So you're ready. That's kind of in place when you get out.
Yeah.
So Joey, how long did it take you once you left the fire service? How long did it take you to just be you, like to say, okay, I'm good now. I'm Joey and this is what I do.
Yeah. I mean, it's an ongoing process. I don't think it's ever done. You know, getting to speak with you guys and share my story and get my message out there has been a healing, you know, process in itself. Like I said, initially I was like over it. Fuck the fire stuff. I'm done with all that shit. Now, a couple of years later, it's like, no, that was an instrumental part of my life, an instrumental part of who I've become. So how can I integrate it and bring it into who I am now and take everything I've learned and allow it to become, you know, help me become the best version of myself. So it's an ongoing version. I think if you're once a fireman, you're always a fireman, and that's a great thing. But it just becomes a piece in the bigger puzzle of who you really are.
TJ, what's something that you would set yourself up with outside of fire service before you leave?
As just anything in general, or like money making, or
no, not necessarily money making, but something you can say, this is me, not fire related.
Oh my God.
How do you transfer to not be Fireman TJ?
First of all, shave that hideous mustache off.
It is not hideous. You take that back, young man. This thing is amazing and it has been through so much.
Strikes fear in children everywhere, but go ahead.
Yeah, like we show up to an alarm at an elementary school. I'm like, guys, I got to stay in the rig. Can't go in there. Oh, man, that's a tough one. Wow. You haven't stumped me this hard since the first podcast that we recorded. I think I would go. I want to set myself up with the leather working that I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Asterisk, not fire department related. You know me.
BDSM.
Yeah, I mean, leather daddy, duh. That's I wish I had my leather daddy mug somewhere. I think I left it at the firehouse. But in all seriousness, I have been so burnt out of shields and radio straps and chin straps and all this stuff that I want the time to let my mind do other things. And you know me, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I come up with a half-cocked idea for a business. I wrote down a couple of them that we can start later on so we can chat. But years ago, and you can both back me up because you have spent time by the ocean. You know when you, I remember when I used to be in Florida, when I used to be at Riddle, that I'd go out Friday nights, get obliterated drunk, wake up still hungover on Saturday, go to Ponce Inlet, lay on the beach, hang out for a couple hours, and then get home, shower as the sun's going down, you know, the temperature kind of starts dipping and you kind of have that like sunburn and the ocean breeze stings just a little bit more, but you go and meet your friends at another bar and you hang out for the night, or you go like walk on the beach, whatever it might be. That feeling, like that entire experience for me encapsulated into the idea of making basically beachy flip-flops and all sorts of just like off-duty gear. So I created Wavebreak, which for me was everything that I wanted to relive those days. And obviously because of the job, I did nothing with it. I canceled all the orders. I gave everybody their money back and it was done. And I keep wondering how far can I take that? Because it scratches so many itches. It scratches the business itch. It scratches the creativity itch. It scratches the not being in the fire service. And there's so many other things that shoot off from that. So I think I want to start revisiting those hobbies. You made fun of the guitar, like play some guitar, like restring this thing and make it sound good again and go back to learning things that I don't need the fire service for, because I feel like I've been doing them at the service. I feel like I've been neglecting those parts of my soul that I enjoyed so much at first that now I have had to kind of put on the back burner.
Well, let's not discount the fact that you've got your OnlyFans studio set up right there, so you're good to go there. I lost audio. Hold on. I'll be right there. Hey, there we go. I'm back.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Disappointed.
No, I love the fact that you were making fun of my OnlyFans at the perfect time that your mic went down. That's karma, bro.
Well, I mean, I won't put the address out so everybody can just search it for you.
OnlyFans.com/leatherdaddy.
Yeah. Yeah. So
wait, does that exist?
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm sure you'll find out.
Yeah, give me 1 second. I'm listening.
Joey, how long did it take you post fire service to realize that you'd found your routine, you'd found your day to day, and you felt comfortable again?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, it took me probably a year and a half or so to start sleeping through the night. And that, once my sleep got together, that allowed me to then, you know, kind of get my life back in order. But that's something I don't think people realize, especially firemen, is we do the job and we just kind of, well, this, it is what it is. This is the job. But transitioning back into civilian life, you know, I would have never called it that before, but what we're doing in the fire service is not normal life.
No,
it's not what most people are doing. So it took me a year and a half to get my sleep right. And then realizing that, you know, I wasn't going to go to shift and see some crazy thing, you know, and have that high and then have the low after it. It started to become like, okay, well, my days are my days. I get to do what I want to do. I get to be with my family. I get to have dinner every night. I get to go to bed with my wife. I get to give, you know, kiss my kids goodnight, all that kind of stuff. And every, you know, I'm 3 years out now and it's I'm able to make my schedule how I want, and not have all my time being diverted to the fire service. So it takes some time and it takes some intentional effort to create that. But once you're not giving so much of your time to the service, it opens you up, you know, and it's like we kind of said, it's scary because now you have this big open road and you have no direction, but it's all on you. So, you know, that's once you, you know, switch your mindset about it, it's, well, great. Now I get to create whatever I want to create. So it took some time, but I'm so glad that I got out. I'm so thankful for my time in the service. But being able to prioritize myself, my mental health, my family, I'm glad I got out when I did.
And I think that's been kind of the tough part for me is identifying what my routine is going to be. And, you know, in order to be successful, everyone needs a routine. It's kind of funny. You think that, oh no, I'm going to get out and do my own thing. Well, your own thing has to revolve around a routine or you're not going to get anything done, or you're not going to succeed at getting anything done, at least to the level you need to. So identifying my routine has been the toughest thing, and I'm not even there yet. It's been about 5 weeks since I stepped away, and there's no way I can have my routine in place yet.
Some on that, to interrupt you real quick,
that was
super helpful for me was, about building that routine. I started to, fill my schedules with the stuff I wanted to do, you know, and that was like, it seems so simple, but prior to, you know, when I was a fireman, it was just, my schedule was basically, you saw every third day I'm on shift, mm-hmm. and everything else revolved around that. Mm-hmm. But once you get out and you're not tied to that schedule, okay, what do you want to do? You know, so it started to be, you know, going to nature here, going to go surfing this day, doing jujitsu this day, hanging with the family. And then with what I'm doing for work now, I work for myself, so I'm able to schedule my work around the shit that I want to do.
Yeah.
So that was super helpful in, you know, reestablishing who I was, what I want to do with my life, and creating that new identity.
When we first talked about doing this show, and we had our, it was about a 45 minute conversation. That one, I loved what you said there, schedule what you want to do versus what you have to do. And I love that piece of advice. And that's something that I'm learning to do, you know, and it's definitely a piece that I have to take to heart and figure out. And this whole bike thing is the first step to that. That does start to set you up for some success, because that mental health that you get from doing what you want to do feeds into then doing what you need to do.
Absolutely.
TJ, you had something to say?
No, it was just what Joey said, it smacked me in the face, because you guys know how much I fill my schedule with stuff, with always running around for the different businesses. And that third day disrupts a routine without fail.
Mm-hmm.
When we first come in, we're all excited. Oh, I'm going to have, you know, 48 hours off, 72 hours off. And then you start chipping away those hours. Like, okay, like the first couple hours, you have to make your way home.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe eat something, and then maybe take a nap. All right, so you just like took out 4 hours of your 48. And then on the back end, oh, now you got to do laundry, and now you got to prep food, and now you got to get ready for tomorrow, and you got to go to bed early.
Yeah.
And you have to do all of these things to be a remotely useful firefighter.
Yeah.
And that time off just does not, my biggest gripe is that there is no time for any sort of consistent, deep work where you can actually explore different avenues and solve complex problems. I did it once recently, and it kind of shook me how long it has been since I had done that. I literally drove to my parents an hour away. I turned off my phone. I locked myself in my childhood bedroom, and I said, I need to do some shit on the computer. Like, I'll be back out for dinner. And I knocked out like 40 pages of this writing that I had been meaning to do in the span of a couple hours, because I had nothing else. I was off for like 5 or 7 days. I forget how long I was off, but I had nothing else to worry about. And it's sobering to think that we are almost living, not superficially, I guess that's the way to do it. Like, there's no it's almost impossible to find the time to do that deep work, because the way our minds work and the way that we are always dragged to something else, the bells ring, we get taken somewhere. People are like, I'm going to go work out, or I'm going to read, or I'm going to do stuff at work. No, you're not. You're going to last maybe 5 minutes and then something's going to pull you away. And then we get home and it's the same thing. And that for me is, it's one of the saddest things about still being in. And one of the things that I'm looking forward to the most is having that schedule that I can fill with what I want to do and put in the effort that's required, the effort that I know I'm capable of. Because like right now, we're going to get off here. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to try to knock out some leather work, all of these things, boom, boom, boom. But I know that I can always do more and do better and maybe edit the podcast better, right? And that's the kind of stuff that I'm looking forward to.
I want to talk about sleep. I know Joey's got it. Joey's up against a 10-minute window here. So I want to cover a couple of things really quick. Joey, you mentioned sleep, that it took you a while to get to where you got your sleep right. And what I found was when I got out, I slept fine. I slept fantastic. Like I wake up and I look at my sleep data and I was like, shit, that was perfect. But I felt tired. I still feel tired when I wake up, even after a good night's sleep. And so I think that's where my sleep issue came in. It wasn't getting the sleep necessarily. It was benefiting from the good sleep. My body hasn't adjusted to that yet.
Yeah.
And so I think people will experience a few things with sleep when they get out. And that kind of feeds into what we talked about. How do you start to become human again? And it's all encompassing, all these things we've talked about, setting yourself up for success, getting a routine, finding something that's not fire related, getting the sleep, getting healthy. Those are all the aspects of becoming a human again, not a firefighter. And there's one thing I want to touch on that we mentioned real briefly, and it has to do with that brotherhood. It has to do with that camaraderie. It has to do with sitting around that kitchen table. I don't have a place to be inappropriate anymore.
Yeah.
As crazy.
I think that's a problem.
You put your hands up in the air, TJ, like I've been inappropriate. I haven't even touched inappropriate.
No, like this is the place. And that's the shit that I wrote down. I literally put brotherhood in exile. There is that need that we can fill with a group of people for like you guys and hopefully like me soon of the has-beens, if you will, because we need that. We need that brotherhood and that kitchen table. And I guarantee you that if we're feeling this way, we're not unique snowflakes. No. There's going to be thousands of other firefighters who left who are feeling the same way.
I think that's just men in general in our current culture. We don't have those spaces. And that's what, you know, the military, police, fire offers you is you now, you know, three schmucks like us get together and we're all doing the same thing. And it creates that brotherhood.
Right.
But you have to, that's what I've struggled with getting out. You know, you have all these brothers when you're in and that becomes your whole life. So I, you know, neglected anybody who wasn't in the fire service. And now when I'm out, it's like, I don't have that circle. I don't have other people, other men who I look up to, I can respect. And you don't have that person to, you know, kind of bounce things off.
So right.
That is a big part of getting out is, do you have any people you look up to, anybody you can talk to? Cause the fire service gives that to you, but once you're out, you're kind of not invited to the table no more, you know?
Yeah. I made a joke the other day and I got some looks and I was like, I told you I need a fucking outlet. I need somewhere to be inappropriate. And because when I step on a rig, I know I can say whatever I want. And the more inappropriate I got, they didn't bark. They're like, all right, I think I'm going to not say anything now. And I'm like, okay, don't say anything, but I need to be able to say it. I need that outlet to say what's on my mind, whether it's right, true or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's like, it is my form of autism or Tourette's. I need to spit it out or it just fucking boils over in my head.
Yeah. It's funny how it's like the service, we're kind of a little toxic in the way we're not vulnerable with each other, but the table, the rig is a safe space.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Without judgment.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know how you create that elsewhere. I mean, luckily you found each other and I mean, I think that's just a big part of it is finding that somewhere else once you get out. Cause it's definitely going to be a missing part.
Right. And so maybe it's a, I don't know, I'll open a live up every Wednesday afternoon and
I'm in.
We'll just bullshit a little bit and we can talk about world events and bash both sides left and right and solve every issue we have.
Yeah. That's so, something real quick though. Like we talk about people getting out and what can you do to prepare, you know, finding another identity. If you're in the service and you're thinking of getting out, ask yourself, do I have any friends other than firemen? And if you don't, that's probably an issue.
It's probably a good spot to start.
How are you going
to
step out now? So that it might become through cycling, you get a new cycling buddy or somebody at the gym or whatever, but all of us, especially men, we need other men to, you know, provide that social support.
Yeah. And that, I mean, we could start down that route, but we have like 5 minutes left that you have to record with us. So that might be a whole nother episode to talk about is how do you build that social circle post fire service? Because it's very fucking important. It's very important.
And it's, I mean, honestly, just, I know we got to get off soon, but it just comes to me. The department should kind of try to provide something like that. Like you said, ex-firemen, whatever, retirees.
You misread what we said about brotherhood though, because with the brotherhood and that whole facade of brotherhood is to keep you in. So why would they train you to get out?
But also why the fuck am I going to want to, I mean, as this is going to come out so bad, but I don't want to spend my time with the other former firefighters just reliving those old days.
I don't want to do that either.
When I first got out, I was like that. I don't want to be anywhere near. But now, a couple years later.
But do you want to go back and talk about fireman shit? Or do you want to talk about life and business and family and other stuff? That's my thing.
I guess it's just a comfortable place that I was able to get it before. So I feel like I can go back in there and get it. But I mean, unfortunately, for the 3 years I've been out, none of those brothers reached out to me. So I might be fooling myself.
Yeah.
No,
but there's something special about that. The fire kitchen table, man. It's a unique place.
If it's done correctly, it's amazing. It can be, it's a comedy show. It's a therapy session. It's just that space where you can be you.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to convince our EMS captain, who's got an amazing mustache too. The other day, I was trying to convince him that we should shave it so it looks like the Hitler stash because we can wear that per the fit testing guidelines. It's called the toothbrush. I was like, bro, you in?
Cool.
And this like 20-some-year guy is looking at me like, you absolute fucking lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could go down a number of routes with that because I unfortunately have made a number of Hitler jokes in a fire engine. You know, it's just. It's what you do.
Oh my God, dude, you got to cut this shit out of the episode.
We're going to get canceled. Listen, I'm not going to get canceled because I don't have an audience. So it doesn't matter. Anyway, listen, it is something you need to find outlets. You have to have your outlet. If you don't have it, you're going to drive yourself crazy. And you're going to, if you have family around, if you have significant others, you're going to drive them crazy. And they're going to, something's going to snap. So you need to build yourself in for some success. And maybe that's something we come back and we talk about. How do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a trick. And I don't think I know if I found it yet or not. Joey, you're 3 years out and it's just starting to sound like you found it. And so maybe that's something
I was just going to say, I'm 3 years out and I'm saying you need to do this, but I'm still lost. You know, I'm still
Hey, you're ahead of all of us though. That's a thing. Like that's where the mentorship comes into play.
Yeah, I've been lost with that, you know, but finding you guys and getting to talk about this fireman thing while not being so sucked into it has been helpful. So, you know, thank you to you guys for that.
Well, listen, I know you have to get out of here. We got 3 minutes left. So maybe the next time we talk, we could do it on a Panama City beach or something while you put us through a workout.
I'm in.
Let's do it.
So go do what you need to do, Joey. TJ, enjoy the rest of your day up there. And I'm not going to fuck around with this one too much. It's going out Wednesday, so be ready.
Nice. Sweet. Can I steal it so I can recopy it? Thank you.
No, not at all. Anyway, you steal my guests. You might as well steal my shows too. Whatever.
I mean, bro, like I'm actually, I do need content badly, but we'll chat later.
All right.
Let me say one last thing, fellas. So the fire service offers a way to do hard shit with other people. So I think part of building a community for men, women, whoever, post-fire is you need to find a struggle with other people. Yeah. Whether that, for me, doing jujitsu was that thing. I used to do like long paddleboard races. Just you doing hard shit with people helps bring people together. So once you get out, finding a challenge that you can do with other people is a great way to start to build that community again.
Yeah, man. I like it. That's a perfect way to end it.
All right, fellas.
Thank you. We're done. We're out.
Yay.
Go enjoy your day.
All right, party people. I'll catch up with you later.
All right, we're out.
Fuck yeah.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Things We All Carry. Head over to the website, thethingsweallcarry.com, for show notes, resources, and to sign up for the newsletter. Until next week, take care of yourselves and remember to check in on each other.